great knight, venerable Bodhidharma. He was for our Australian, no, that was Australia Sangha Association, or for our website. He wanted to do a little video of a nice video of Jhana Grove, you know, just, you know, really, he's very skilled at this, just being able to get all the views from a drone, how it all works together inside the rooms, so a person overseas, they can see what they're getting into physically when they come to this place, and also for Bodhinyana Monastery. He did the first draft there of just what it looks like. And of course, you know, my first reaction as soon as I saw that, so where's that? That's your monastery. We're actually sitting in the hall right now. Because on a video, it sometimes looks much different than when you actually live there. And this was the old simile, which was a wonderful little insight. And it helps me, it helps you, it helps so many other people. That I was living a very busy life. Still am, really, but my busyness was because when I wasn't traveling to Indonesia or Thailand or Malaysia or Sri Lanka or Hong Kong and all the other places I get to go to, my usual routine was at the weekend, Friday afternoon, go into Nolamara, to teach, counsel, admin, you name it, you do it, all over there for Friday night until Sunday afternoon. And still people want more. And then Sunday afternoon, come back here, and then just catch up with all the monks here, all the problems here, and then work from Sunday afternoon to Friday afternoon, and then go to Nolamara again. Just, you know, doing two jobs, and just a few jobs at the side, like, you know, being the spiritual advisor of the Buddhist Society of Victoria, starting a monastery at Newbury Buddhist Monastery, and every now and again, giving in to extreme pressure and going to visit the Dhammasala Monastery, or even rarely Sydney or whatever. So, but it's a very busy lifestyle. I'm supposed to be a monk. I'm supposed to be chilling out. So, I was, after a busy weekend, Monday morning, I just happened to be walking somewhere in the monastery, checking out what needed to be done, before going over to my cave, and lots of time I can't get in my cave because there's people already in there visiting. So, and then somebody came up to me and said, "Oh, you're so lucky to live in such a beautiful monastery. It's so peaceful here. The hall is so tranquil. And your cave is just so delightful." Yeah, when I can get into it. I said, "What do you mean it's a peaceful monastery? So much work to be done here. So many problems to fix. So many stuff you have to do. So many people you have to teach. So many photographs you have to be taken of you." So, and I realized, you know, there's, at least I've got enough reflection, there's a problem there. And the problem was that if you're the abbot, if you're the owner, you always see what's wrong, things which need to be fixed up. You see the leaves which need to be swept off the path, you know, the dangers from the bushfire season which have to be addressed, the leaky pipes. In the firefighting equipment, you can see just even, have you seen our entrance gate? You know, to Bodhinyana Monastery, those of you who walked over there, you know, there's lots of holes in there, in the roof. You know, we had a gate crasher, literally. A big bus who came without telling us and hit the roof. That's what we call a gate crasher. And crashed into the gate, okay. Oh, come on. Lighten up. But they said, "When are you going to fix it?" Oh, I keep on seeing that. But instead of having a fault-finding mind, because there's a fault-finding mind, after all, I'm going to raise money to fix that. What am I going to do with for it? This is really going to be terrible. Then I thought, because you get all these visitors, you know, who come there, especially young women, and you see their trousers, their jeans, they've got all these holes in them. And they have to pay extra for those. And so I looked at my roof and say, why, that's really fashionable. It's got holes in it, just like fashionable jeans. So you see, we're always ahead of the game. You know, Buddhist monks, you know, we started the bald head way before, what's his name, Die Hard fellow, Bruce Willis. Before Bruce Willis even thought of having a bald head, we were there way before then. But if I don't do that, I look at all this work I have to do. All this stuff which needs to be fixed up. Oh, there's so much work to be done. And then the person I was with, you know, was just enjoying the monastery. And then I started thinking, hang on, what's the difference? My difference was I was the owner. I was responsible. Therefore, I had a duty to actually see all the faults and fix them up. That was the problem. I was an owner. So, I pretended. I just, role-played to be a visitor in the monastery where I was supposed to be the boss. And it was a wonderful experience, because as soon as I pretended to be a visitor, it was not my problem anymore. Someone would say, like, this hole's in the roof. Oh, go and see the abbot, not my problem. I'm only visiting today. The camera doesn't work. Not my problem, I'm only visiting. Yeah, go and tell the manager. Someone is stolen the car. Not my problem, I'm only visiting. By the way, they haven't, don't worry about it. Anyway, you don't own it, it's not your business anyway. So much of that stuff, as soon as I stopped being an owner, I could let it go. I could relax. And I could enjoy Bodhinyana Monastery in the same way that you can. But as soon as I start being an abbot, I'm in trouble. There's so much stuff which needs to be fixed up in that place. As soon as I become a teacher, then I've got to listen to all your problems. Fix up all your meditation, oh, it's endless. So every now and again, I pretend just to be a monk. An ordinary monk, even not even a monk, just to be a person in my cave, or in my, wherever I can find a hidey hole to hide out. So I can actually always think, well, now somebody, their meditation, they're going crazy. And I say, none of your business. This person, they want to make a huge donation to the nuns' monastery. Sorry, not today. Not my business. They want... The committee in BSWA is going just ballistic. Not my problem. You have to do that. Otherwise, you'd always have a fault-finding mind instead of an appreciative mind. If you're the owner, the boss, you'd always see the faults, things which need to be fixed up. So what's that got to do with meditation? It's not your meditation. Imagine that you've got no control over your body or your mind. So it's not your problem. The body aches, none of your business, body. Your mind is thinking, instead of going to sleep, instead of getting into jhana, none of your business. Didn't the Buddha say, not me, not mine, not a self? You are out of control. It's the time you accepted that, relaxed, and become enlightened. So it's called letting be. You don't own this thing. Do you? That's the myth of ownership. Okay, simile of the driverless bus. Again, a long time before Google even had the idea of a driverless bus. You know, that was one of my similes 20 years ago, and actually, you know, got from the Buddha 2,500 years ago. So once again, Buddhism got there first. But our problem is we don't patent it. You know, we should get some rights. Anyway, go back to driverless bus submit. What many people come here for is actually to fix up all the problems in your mind, in your life, in your monastery, or wherever. Always trying to fix things up. Because life is like a bus journey. That's an old simile. But you always use old similes and just mess around with them and get some new ideas out of them. It's a bus journey. And your problem is that every now and again you get some beautiful experiences. That it's like you have a beautiful moment of peace and then somebody sneezes and they blow it off. You came within a nose of Nibbana and you blew it. It's a joke, you know, nose, you prisoners. I really try hard to create some happiness in this place. Becoming a nose of Nibbana, that's, you know, that's a horse race, you simply just, you lost by a nose and you blew it. Oh dear. Anyway, in other words, it's just like your bus always gets perfect situation, really beautiful. You look out the window and the beautiful scenery of rolling hills and waterfalls and coffee shops and whatever else you like, tea stalls and your favourite dumpling shop from Singapore, Indonesia. It's just all there. And what happens? You just pull up there. And what does the bus driver do? He races away before you've even got a time to enjoy the dumplings or the coffee. Stupid driver. But other times, you're going through the toxic waste, nuclear dump sites, the Chernobyls of life, which is so disgusting, so horrible to see. And what does your bus driver do? Stops and parks. Stupid bus driver. This is the simile of your life. Why is it when things go really peaceful and calm, you're really happy, and something disturbs it? It doesn't last as long as it should. You're meditating, getting nice and peaceful, and then a stupid thought comes up. Stupid thought. Or you're really getting peaceful, and then someone bangs the door. Although it used to happen to me. You have these retreats, and you're just about to get, you've got to work really hard, get this beautiful nimitta, really bright, and then some idiot bangs a gong. I shouldn't say that, because that was Ajahn Chah. That's really bad. Bad mug, bad mug. And bang the gong, and just... And other times, you know what happened? That, you know, you're meditating there and, oh, you're really aching, you want it to finish, you're getting nowhere, and they wouldn't bang the gong at all. And I'm sure you would miss the clock, it was just over time. So, you know what I used to do? I had all these schemes. No, well, not really schemes, like skillful means. But they weren't that skillful. Because as a kid, we used to have these pea shooters, you know, these little tubes. And you put a pea or something in there, and you've sort of hit your friend. You know, it's just messing around as little kids. But, you know, you could be, you know, very, very accurate with a pea shooter, because it's a long, like, rifle tube, and you could... And I thought, you know, it wouldn't be that hard, you know, to get a pea shooter, because everyone had their eyes closed, and actually hit the gong. Whenever I wanted it to. Thereby taking control of the meditation center. Bing, bow, 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 and be out before the teacher realized what was going on. Because that was what life was. When life was going really well, sort of, it didn't last as long as it should. And when it was really going painful, it lasted forever. It's a stupid bus driver. Because the bus driver stops when it should be driving fast, and drives fast when it should be stopping to enjoy the moment. You know who that bus driver represents? Your will. The one in charge. The one deciding what to do. Such a stupid will. Really peaceful? Can't you just stop? Why do you have to get this thought and do something? So many people come here to train the will to have loving kindness. May all beings be happy and well. May I be happy and well. So I'm training my will to be kind. And you know, my will just will not do it. Refuses. I will not get angry. I will not get angry. I will not get angry. You know how frustrating it is? You know, you have all these great ideas and it always goes wrong. It's bus driver, it's so stupid. So we come here to train the bus driver to learn how to relax and to be wise, to be smart. So that bus driver will always stop when it's the right time to stop. And will always go fast when it's the right time to go fast. But you find in life, it's so frustrating. Here you're on a retreat. Beautiful. And what happens? You get sick. Well, you don't get sick, your mind goes crazy. Or you get aches. Or you just happen to be in a room where someone's always banging the door. Why do we keep on having to do this? We should get a list of all the snorers, the people who get up in the morning and just with stirring up their cup of coffee, they always make a noise. Get a list, the black list, and we put them all in the same cottage. You know, the naughty cottage, or whatever you call it. And all the peaceful ones, they can go to another cottage. And, you know, I think you could always give a few suggestions already. But there's something really wrong there. Trying to control never works. There's something wrong with the bus driver. Something seriously wrong. And so that one day you decide the only way you can truly train the bus driver is actually go right up to that bus driver so you can teach that bus driver what to do. And that's the job of this meditation. By little sneaky tricks, I get you to let go until the body vanishes, five senses vanish, and you go to see the mind. And the first thing you see in the mind is not just the knower, but the doer, your will. You find out who that person is. Who is making all these choices? Who starts this thinking process? Who decides to move your back and straighten your back? Who decides to adjust your feet? Who decides to move your hands? Who decided to come here? What is this will? And that is where you see something you never expected to see. You get shocked when it's not no more theory, you see very clearly. The bus driver's seat is empty. There's no one there. Anatta, non-self, emptiness. What Ajahn Chah used to say, one, nothing there. The driverless bus, which is your body and mind. So what happens when you see that? You go back to your seat, you stop complaining. There's no one to complain to. No more wanting. No more complaining. It's now none of your business. You're not an owner of your life's trajectory. Something goes wrong, not my problem. Just life. What do you expect? Do you really expect to come here and because of these amazing teachings by the amazing Ajahn Chah, the most humble monk in the whole world. Do you really think that's going to fix things? Or do you want to become not an owner who keeps fixing things, like an abbot who keeps having to worry about, you know, whether there's enough money in the bank to pay the bills and whether you're going to go and dig a hole and create more problems by bursting one of the pipes, whether the monks are just, you know, going to be crazy or what they're up to, what the nuns are up to, you know, when we don't know what's going on over there. Do you want to worry about that? It's not my problem. I am not the owner. I'm owner sometimes. I take responsibility. But there are times when you let go. And those times when you let go, when you're on retreat, for you, when you're sitting on that cushion, you don't own anything. Oh, what bliss to have no problems in this world. Oh, what joy to know that I don't have to be happy. Actually, I should have got that. I've got a little, I'll bring it tomorrow. Somebody gave me this little gift. And it's a little doll of a monk. It was very, so similar to Ajahn Chah's pose, where he put his hands up like this. Joy at last to know there's no happiness in this world. And a great saying, joy at last. To know there's no happiness in this world. The law of suffering. Damn, you read that before. Four Noble Truths, suffering. The joy, that's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. You fall asleep. Nothing wrong with that. You're restless. Nothing wrong with that. Joy at last. It's just cause and effect, just what happens. Joy at last. You don't have to seek for happiness. There's no happiness to be found in this world. What was that little story I told on a Wednesday night, which I think Vinahasapanya thought was very funny? You know, this person went to the doctor. He said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I hurt. Where do you hurt? I hurt all over. What do you mean? Well, it hurts here. 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 The doctor said, oh, it's because your finger's infected. I get it. Of course it's going to hurt here, hurt here. Wherever you press that, it's going to hurt. It even hurt there. Your fingers are infected. Life is suffering. It hurts in Jada Grove, it hurts here, it hurts there. Why? Not Jada Grove, it's not you, it's not the teacher. It's because you have too many expectations. Too much wanting. Wanting for things which are totally out of control. They're not yours anyway. So, not mine, not my problem, you let go. So what does that mean in meditation? So you're watching your breath. Your breath doesn't belong to you. I'll now prove it. You cannot control your breath. I'll prove this. Stop breathing. No, you started breathing again. Stop it. But another half an hour of this talk to go, so stop breathing. Of course you can't do that. You'll die. You'll asphyxiate. It's an automatic process. You can't. There's so much stuff you can't do. Sit perfectly still. Don't move. Of course you can't do that. If you want to have, if you've got a kid who can't keep quiet, I've done this a few times, isn't it? Really works. You've got like a 6-7 year old kid, and they're just always moving around talking, especially talking, making noise. Now, some of them, I say this, you know, even they know that sort of I've got no money, but I can borrow some money from somewhere or other. And I say, I'll give you $20, kid, if you can keep quiet until I finish counting to 10. And I'll get it from somewhere. I'm honest, Mike. I always keep promises. I'll give you $20 if you keep quiet until I finish counting to 10. And the kid, oh, okay, yeah, I can use $20. So I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And for the rest of this talk today, then I'm going to start describing about just bringing joy into the mind. And this little kid is looking there. I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to mention that last number. So I never pay up. I never paid up once on that. And of course they have to start speaking because they can't control themselves. But it's at least you get a few minutes where they're quiet until they suss it out and they never trust me again. I'm a very sneaky monk. So anyway, that when it comes to yourself, you're watching the life. Where does all the negativity come from? Disappointment. Expectations which haven't been fulfilled. And sometimes expectations are pulling you from other people. What other people expect you to do. What I expect me to do. All those goals, achievements, expectations, what a monk should really look like. What a girl should look like, what a boy should look like, what a meditator should look like, how I should meditate, how long I should sleep, what I should eat, what I should do, how I should speak. Ah, so much force on you. And you try so hard, and you can never reach perfection. So after a while, you let go. This is Ajahn Brahm. This is all you're going to get. So you better get used to it, because I ain't going to change. You, who do you think you are anyway? Trying to get jhanas. Trying to get enlightened. Do you really think that that's possible for someone like you? And then, oh, I'll give up. And then it happens. When you stop controlling and expecting, then happiness is everywhere. Remember that saying which I said, I think the first day, I've been looking for that little cartoon. I want happiness. Problem number one, I. Get rid of that. No I. You're not in control, so just let it happen. Wanting. What do you want? That's a problem, wanting stuff. When there's no I, there's no want, what's left? Happiness. So simple. So this is creating a little bit of happiness in life. Driverless bus. No I, no want. And then there's happiness. Do you understand it? I want, it means you think you own this thing. And this, are you enjoying this place? It's a beautiful place here. And it's just nice food, nice place to sit out, have a cup of tea, just watch the trees grow, watch the sun go down, just you can sleep whenever you want, nice, you can have two or three hot showers a day if you wish, you know, you just sleep around, just drink cups of tea, you have no boss, you have no workload, you're not going to get a certificate, you're not going to fail, you're not going to succeed, that just is not part of jhana growth. Yeah, wonderful, so much freedom. Nothing to be, nothing to achieve. If you do achieve something anyway, what's the point? You're going to die. You don't take it with you. Do you? Or do you take that wonderful idea of disappearance? Letting go. Oh, what joy to know there's no happiness in the world. So you don't strive, you don't struggle, you don't go looking for stuff. And all that's left is joy. So this is where the joy comes from, the happiness. And if you're meditating, haven't got that joy come up, that bliss going up there, it's because you're trying too hard. You're trying to own the meditation, trying to make it happen, instead of letting it happen. Get out of the way. Let it happen, and it becomes really relaxed and peaceful. The more I control, the more problems I have. So, instead, we just learn how to sit here and let the breath do the breathing. I don't control it. It comes in when it wants to. It goes out when it wants to. I just sit here watching it. Ah, nimittas, they'll come when they want to. They'll go when they want to. It's not mine. I just let them come, let them go. Just like you, I don't ring a bell and say, now's the time to go to bed, get out of here. I don't say, now's the time to come in, now you can come in. Have you seen this? There's very little control here. That's why it's a very peaceful, happy, safe place. In your mind, when you're meditating, are you controlling? Are you blaming yourself? Stupid me. Stupid, stupid, stupid. You know, I should be meditating and I'm just sexual fantasies. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do to get rich when I leave here. The more you try to control it, the worse it gets. Is that it? It's not me, it's not my problem. Not me, not mine, not self. Then you can let it go, and happiness comes. You stop blaming yourself. You stop blaming life. And then you have this beautiful idea, just sitting here, this is good enough for me. This is wonderful. All the amazing freedom which I have here. And because you feel free, now I can relax. No stress, no searching for enlightenment. Remember that symbol I gave of the string, the guitar string, being pulled on both ends. And when anything hits it, bing! But when you let go of both ends of the string, it gets really loose. Anything hits it in life, it doesn't even echo at all, there's no sound at all. It's got to be tight to react. Loose. Free. Doesn't react at all in life. Totally peaceful. So you're just watching the breath going, ah, this is so nice. Just watching breath. Ah, breathing in, sabai. If you want it to be sabai, then it will never be sabai enough. So come on, more sabai please. That's more stress. It's amazing how people just take something simple like meditation and make it another stressful activity to do. So how many more days are left? How far have you got so far? It's cost a lot of money. It's very hard to get into these retreats. You better sort of start putting some effort in now. No more sleep. No. Oh, get out of here. That's not how we meditate. So relax. Let go. Let it be. Stop searching for happiness. As Ajahn Chah said, there's no happiness in this world, so stop searching for it. And then what's next? I want happiness. You stop, I want, and then you find the secret of happiness. Joy at last. To know there's no happiness in this world. Isn't that great? When you stop searching for it, then it's there. So, stop controlling the breath. You sit there, just wait for it. Think, ah, me become enlightened? No way. And then enlightenment happens. Counterintuitive, but it's the way it works. When you stop striving, then you're peaceful. When you put the glass of water down, then it becomes still. You're not controlling anymore. So after a while you get so peaceful, so still. And these nimittas, these lights, they come to you. You don't do anything. You just sit here. It's another simile of flying. Not Singapore Airlines, not Qantas. I don't like flying Qantas Airlines because there's always lots of turbulence on Qantas Airlines. It's always a very bumpy flight. Have you ever noticed that? One of the bumpiest airlines is Qantas. You know why? Because it's a flying kangaroo. Bump, 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 bump. And as for Garuda, Garuda was only, I was flying over to, where was it, to, I think it was Jogja once, and had to cancel, actually, the flight got cancelled. Wasn't delayed, it was just cancelled. And so I had to quickly ring up Venerable Sri Panyawara and say, I can't go to the talk. They said, oh, they're going to be very disappointed, what shall I tell them? I said, look, obvious what you should tell them. You know, in the Uihara where he was arranged this big talk, to tell them, well, you know, it's obvious the reason why Garuda is, you know, the bird. And that was the time they had bird flu in Indonesia. I said, tell them the plane got bird flu. It's a good. Oh, it just happens. It's good teaching. You know, you can't expect things always to turn out the way you expect them to. So anyway, so flying Buddha Air, that's the best airline. Buddha Air. Because once you get onto Buddha Air, you just sit down, you don't do anything. It's only got one destination, you can't stop halfway, enlightenment. So one way to Nirvana, you can't buy a return ticket, I'm afraid. And what happens when you get on Buddha Air, destination Nirvana, you just sit down. You can't say, oh, hurry up, you know, I haven't got much time, please get me there quick. On that one, people rushing around. I always remember this Singapore fellow. Had to be Singapore. And he came up to me once and said, Ajahn Brahm, I know you're very wise. I want to know Buddhism. I've only got 2 minutes. Please let me know. Okay, fair enough. And so Buddhism in a nutshell. And I like little challenges like that because, you know, for once I rose to the occasion. You know, if I hadn't given a smart answer, I wouldn't be telling the story, would I? The most humble monk in the world. And I said, oh yeah, suffering is asking from the world what it can't give you. Well, that was really cool. Suffering is asking from this world something it can never give you. Isn't that nice? So, my meditation practice will go according to my schedule. So, 3 days I'll get sort of first jhana, the next day second jhana, by Thursday the third jhana, Friday the fourth jhana, Saturday psychic powers, and Sunday, just before I leave, enlightenment. Is that your... Good, doesn't work too much. So anyway, when you go on Buddha Air, it's really good. You just sit down there, you can't do anything. You sit down there, and then after the seatbelt sign has been turned off, you get the flight attendant comes up and says, madam, what can I get you to drink? We have first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, or fourth jhana. What would you like today? And because it's a special offer today, with every jhana, we give, a psychic power. So which psychic power would you like offered? And you look at the menu and say, yeah, walking through walls. No, don't need that anymore because you've got doors. flying through the levitation, well, that's not so good because, you know, that will be, you know, you're flying an aircraft, that will cut out the business. So we'll take reading minds. Okay, I'm reading minds. So the flight attendants come a few minutes later. Here you are, sir, mind reading. And that's actually what happens. They come and serve you. You don't go looking for something or ringing the bell, ding, 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 ding. Otherwise they get upset at you and won't give you anything. On Buddha Air, we call that, not, we don't call it in-flight service, we call it insight service. Comes and pings you, all this stuff. And then it just happens. All this stuff comes to you when you're sitting perfectly still. You don't go seeking for it. You don't try and own it. See how much you can let go, not how much you can attain. That was Ajahn Chah's great teaching. And then you get this incredible joy coming up. When you want something, you're always something more you can want. When you achieve something, there's always something more you can achieve. It's missing the point. We're not here to achieve things, to get things, to want things, but to let go of stuff. To see how much we can vanish and disappear. How little we can own, not how more we can possess. So, we don't own anything. Oh, what freedom. When I go back on that computer, you don't know what emails are coming out at you. But when I'm a spiritual director, or as many people say, spiritual dictator, when you're the advert, when you're the boss, when you're the manager, when you're the leader, Oh, it's just really a lot of work. But when? It's none of my business. Isn't that lovely? Free, peaceful. Sickness, health, none of my business. Nothing to worry. I'm going to die anyway. So let's, you know, bring it on, as George W. Bush said. The longer I live, the more aches and pains I'm going to have. The more I'm going to sort of have to stay in old monk's home. We haven't got an old monk's home yet. So, actually we have. I think it is Bodhinyana Monastery. Oops, bang. It's okay, it's none of my business. Leave it alone. I didn't do that. So, well, it comes back to me, you see. Is that psychic stuff? No, come on, let it go. Isn't it much more happiness in this world when you don't control stuff? So that's one of the missing ingredients of your meditation so far. Too much control. Too much ownership of your meditation practice. Too much grasping, attachment to your body. It's my body. No, it's not your body. Just look after it. Same with this body is not my body. You feed it. You don't let me exercise. You say, oh, do you want to lift Ajahn Brahm? I say, no, I need my car, it needs to be blessed. I need to make some more merit. Can you please come in my car so I can drive you back to monasteries? No, I need the merit. Well, you need exercise. Not my fault. So, you know, sometimes when people bring me to their house for lunch, and I say, I just want to eat a little bit today. I say, no. I made a special for you, Ajahn Brahm. You've got to eat lots of it. So it's your fault. I absolve responsibility for being fat. It's not my body anyway, so who cares? So when you let go a lot, is that how happy you can be? One of the reasons that I put on weight is because I don't worry enough. People keep telling me, if you worry, have lots of anxiety, you lose weight. So I need to go to a meditation retreat center, a place where they teach you how to worry and be anxious. So maybe your office or somewhere. But when you learn about what happiness is, it's so easy to meditate. You know, you stop controlling, you let go. You appreciate this moment, not fault-finding, not being an owner. Isn't it wonderful? You have a wonderful day today. You don't have to achieve anything. Just chill out. Enjoy the day. You want to meditate? Just meditate. But don't think you have to meditate. Don't think, I've slept too much. If your body feels like having a rest, have a rest. Who wants to have a walk? Take it for a walk. Have this wonderful, nothing to achieve. Nowhere to go. This brings me on to another little skillful means. I already mentioned about, I haven't really talked about what I wanted to talk about. I'm totally out of control this morning. I was going to talk about nimittas, but who cares? It's about happiness. So, so that one little skillful means is, again, to get to feel what it must be like to really be still and peaceful. So, sometime this morning, when you sit down to meditate, close your eyes, get yourself comfortable, and imagine that you're a Buddha under a Bodhi tree, just enlightened. Imagine what it must feel like. The reason I started doing this was, I went to this the kindergarten over in Singapore. I think Little Gems, I think it was called. It's a Buddhist I've known for a long time. I was trying to do something good for, you know, preschool kids, and so he wanted me to come and talk to them. It's one thing talking to you guys, but talking to 3 or 4 or 5 year olds is a totally different ball game. So I can't sit there and say, sit down and watch your breath and just breathe in and breathe out. That don't work. So I suppose it was about close to WASAC time, so teaching about WASAC. So, great, WASAC time. So I remembered as a kid when I was that age, I remember just being in the class and everyone stand up, pretend you're a tree. The tree swaying in the wind. And I remember that time, really got into it, being a tree swaying in the wind. You close your eyes, swaying in the wind. It's so easy to do for a kid. Your imagination is really strong and you can feel it. And so I did that with the kids and said, okay, pretend you're the Buddha, just enlightened. Seven steps. And they all, it's amazing how mindful they can be when they're pretending to be a Buddha. Seven steps. And then you put one finger up, not the middle one, this one up. This is my last life. I am the chief in the world, or whatever it was. And they really got into that. And then, okay, now, the next thing is sitting under a Bodhi tree, being enlightened. And they all sat, you know, you didn't have to tell them to cross their legs. They all sat there because they'd seen so many pictures of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. They sat there very quiet for a few seconds. Okay, now, you are the Buddha teaching the five first disciples. And of course, they were just talking to one another, teaching a lot of rubbish. But that's the best they could do. But the nicest one was, now you are the Buddha under the twin sal trees about to pass away to Parinirvana. And on your right side, like this, and they all lay down like that, and that was such a nice thing. And we lasted a long time because I didn't know what to do after that. So I let them stay there for a long time. But they really got into it. And that's actually teaching about, you know, the meaning of WASAC. Well, actually, the first sermon was something some other time. But anyway, it was actually giving them a really, really good sort of teaching because they could experience it. And the same with you as well. So, imagine you're the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. You close your eyes. What does it feel like? Nothing more to achieve. You don't have to get jhanas anymore. You don't have to worry about nimittas. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to be worried, I want to be a stream winner in this life. I want to get rid of all my problems. I've got cancers. I've got anxiety disorder. I've got, so much problems with my family. Oh, Buddha, you've got no family. Sitting there. Buddha on the Bodhi tree. Just really get into it. Role play. And people could do that, you know. You don't have to be sort of a top actor to be able to really get into the part. You get into the part, and after about 3 or 4 minutes doing that, how does it feel? You've got like a little taste of what it's like to have no desires, no want. The burden has been put down. Done has been what needed to be done. Nothing more to be achieved. How does that feel? That's really cool. And then, carry on. You're way ahead of the game. And it's so beautiful. Imagine what it's like to be a Buddha. Now you know how to breathe in. Survive. Like a Buddha breath. Breathe out. Really get into it. Role play. And then it just takes off. That happiness, which is a lot of time the missing ingredient, because people are so damn serious when they come on meditation retreats. Serious, tense. You know the story of the man who went to the psychiatrist's office, another psychiatrist joke, and he said to the shrink, he said, you know, sometimes I feel like I am a marquee. You know, marquee, you know, they're having these big parties in the garden of marquee. Other times I think I'm a wigwam, you know, the Indian, the teepee. Sometimes I think I'm a wigwam. Sometimes I think I'm a marquee. And the psychiatrist said, your problem, sir, is you're too tense. Ho, ho, ho. come on, laugh, let go. What do you expect? But that's so true. In some sense, you can't have any happiness. Because you don't have any happiness, too serious, you can't get that ingredient to take your meditation into the nimittas. Breathing in, joy. Oh, yeah. Breathing out. I'm the Buddha. Totally free. Nothing more to be done. So you can enjoy every moment. Not an owner anymore. You've done everything. You can let go. So you don't see all the faults in your meditation. Don't see all the things which need to be fixed up. All the things which need to be done. See what you have. Oh, this is so nice. This is good enough. Good enough for me. Oh, yeah. You have happiness. The piti, the sukha, the joy. Then, breath is easy to watch. You don't even try. It's just there. Lights come up. Oh, yeah, this is good enough for me. But you don't try and develop them. This is not good enough. I have to make it better. That just stops everything happening. You just sit there and enjoy. Whatever nimitta, whatever light, whatever color, it moves this way, moves that way. Just enjoy it. Don't try and stop it, restrain it, do anything with it. It's not yours. It's a visitor. You don't own it. So just let it be. And then it will come right up to you and be with you. It will never be afraid of you again. If you try and control it, it will run away. If you try and catch it, it will go away from you. You just let it be and let it settle. Now you know about the driverless bus and how to bliss out happiness beyond your wildest dreams. Ooh, this is cool. So, that's the talk for this evening. Big morning, who cares? It's all judging. It's the evening somewhere anyway. Somewhere in this world. So have a wonderful morning, if you want to. You don't have to. It's not really up to you. So, don't go looking for happiness. You can't control it. There ain't anything out there. So, let go and see what happens. Sadhu. 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 Okay, very good. Okay, have a wonderful morning. Again, if you want to, but you don't have to. At least, you know, if it doesn't work out, if it all goes pear-shaped, there's always lunch.